the end of my basketball stuff. Okay.
I got water to move.
Let's jump into waterboard. Jeff has to be excused tonight. Business, you know, you guys have to have like a job and get a paycheck. Dials up my committees. All right.
So you'll be voting on behalf of the city this time?
Yep. We have from staff, Michael Hinkey and Wes Johnson, city engineer. We have from waterboard, Brent, Steve Farrell, Brent Kelly, Steve Farrell, and Grant Kohler. Well,
we got Grant Kohler and Brent as the voting members.
Voting members. Yeah. So what are you, chop liver?
Huh?
Chop
yeah.
liver?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to be clear for the yeah. record. All right. Steve, voting for Midway.
Right.
Me, voting for Midway. Okay, let's carry on.
And Jennifer. Smith.
And I am here.
And Jennifer, sorry, Steve. No, you are not chop liver.
No.
You are the staff taking the notes. All right. Thank you for that. Let's get to, sorry.
I'll make a motion to, we're open?
We are
make
open.
Make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Okay, that is approved. And sorry, you guys, I've been running from meeting to meeting today. So, all right. Let's go now to the Keith Gertz water requirements. This is 300 South, 250 West. The water requirements previously determined and possible recommendations to City Council. Michael.
All right.
Take it away.
Yeah, thanks, Mayor Johnson, members of the Water Board. So we have Keith here tonight. I think everybody knows Keith. I'm going to give you a little bit of a background on water dedications for the property. Keith has a request that he'd like to make, so get to that point. But I'll kind of give you a history of what's happened on the property. First of all, there's been some water dedications. This first one that we found on August 14, 1995 for half a share, we don't think it's tied to this piece of property because there wasn't any development on the property, but that was in the system. Jennifer found that. So we just throw that up there to show you there was some dedication probably on another piece of property. We know that this one on April 22nd, 1999 is for half a share, and that was on a 5.5 acre lot of record, and that was to build the one dwelling that's on site right now. So this is roughly the 5.5 acres covered all the way across the road. And this is the house that was built on the lot of record. So water was dedicated for that. Again, that was half a share, so 1.5 acre feet. And that house was built.
Is that your house, Keith?
Stephanie's.
And okay. What's the house next door that's also, was that a lot of, I mean, so we've got a house and a half.
Well,
in addition.
So there was further development. I'll show you that.
Okay.
So initially, this 5.5 acre one house was built right here.
Okay.
Half a share was dedicated. Basically, in the minutes, now that was provided, it talked about basically set of the 5.5 acres, only 110 by 110 area was dry area that could be built on because it was considered wetlands, but that must have changed over time because it became more developable. And so on August 3rd, and that should actually, that's a different year, that's 2007. So I didn't change the year on that. Two shares were traded over for 2 1 acre lots.
Jennifer, will you just make a note that it was 2007?
Mm-hmm.
Just,
I have it in the.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'll switch that out. So Keith came in and proposed a two lot subdivision. So 2 1 acre lots. And you'll notice that part of that was on another piece of property. So some of that water was dedicated outside of what was the original lot of record. So we have two shares dedicated for this, and we've got half a share dedicated for this. So the rest of this land, there's not any dedication of water for the rest.
Okay.
And so, talking to Keith, there's a spring on the property, or close to the property, kind of up here somewhere?
Down a little. It's right there in the corner almost, where your finger's pointing, just right about there.
Right in here somewhere. Water comes down, cuts through where this ditch is, cuts over, and I think drops down into the Probst Pond over here. That's where that water goes. this area is for sale right now. Somebody's probably gonna buy this. They might. The maximum density could be 2 homes on it, and that would be, you'd have to build a road in here to get the frontage for the 2 lots.
Am I looking at, so is that the house that the Proppers live in, and the next one up is the one that Amy and...
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay.
And so somebody's going to buy this, and they're going to want to develop it, and Keith is interested in knowing how much water he'd get for the spring, if any. And so that's kind of the ask,
yeah,
right now.
I come to the meeting, I don't know what year it was, but I had to have a shared designated for the spring. And we and that was voted on and decided as it was, I've had it. It's in the record. She looked it up.
But is that the half a share that's now tied to the house that's already there?
No. No.
Was that earlier half share in 94?
No.
But it,
see, this 5.5, hey, the ditch is right here. You can see it. It comes out right here and right down there. That's the ditch. And so I used it to water this piece of ground with. I use it to water this, so I came to the meeting and talked to Steve about it. Jennifer, what year was it? I don't remember.
So it was April 12th, 1999.
Well, then what water got assigned to the house? I'm just trying to figure out.
It says
regular irrigation water. This spring here was just used to irrigate this land here.
It has a private spring on it for outside use. Because of wetlands, there's only 110 by 110 dry area that can be built on. He plans to build the home and then in the future split the home and 1 acre off for his daughter. There are no ditches to be covered, removed, and no storm drain system. And they made a motion that would be required to turn a half a share of Midway irrigation stock to cover the inside use for one home. But there's no discussion about what to do with the private spring. Just that
the spring was just...
It's there.
Was designated to water, to irrigate this piece of ground, and I come in just to save a half a share of water because I had the spring.
But none of the rest of the ground was irrigated?
No, this is all
dry.
It's under sprinkler.
It's Midway Irrigation shares that cover it?
Yes. No, this is all Midway Irrigation Company.
What's the zone?
RA 143, 1 acre.
1 acre.
With the slope of the ground in that ditch, if, as Michael was saying, the future road would go here, could other areas be irrigated out of that ditch?
No.
So the road would go there to access that back
part? Yeah, you can't even put one home back there without building a road because it doesn't have the correct frontage.
Right.
It's missing.
It's almost a flag lot.
It's not really a lot, it's just a parcel that's a flag shape. So it doesn't have a building right. Yeah.
So
because
the building right was taken.
Frontage?
Yeah. Well, the building right was taken with this house. This is the house that was built on the lot of record. So Then he came in and subdivided this off. So this is just a parcel that doesn't meet zoning. It never really met zoning code. It needs to be platted as meeting zoning code. And the only way to do that is to build a road into it to create the frontage. So.
How is that different from a flag lot if we build a road into it to create frontage?
So a flag lot is by, it looks like a flag. You've got a pole and then you've got the flag area. So that flagpole doesn't actually meet frontage requirements. It's less, and we don't have that type of a code right now.
Right.
So.
But what, isn't that what this would be?
Kind of.
So.
Kind of a half-ass looking flag.
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of a difference between a parcel and a lot. Usually a lot has a building right with it. A parcel is just a piece of property that doesn't have a building right. And so I wouldn't call it a lot because there's not a building right with it.
Okay.
But Mayor, usually a flag lot, like if you had a flag lot ordinance, 250 west would count as the frontage. What Michael's saying is you got to build a road to get frontage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
The 250 west portion of this
thing doesn't count.
Yeah, it doesn't count. It's not enough to meet our code.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there, if you build a road, is there an acre with the house that's already there? Is there even, can you even create an acre?
There's 2.77 acres.
Yeah, there's enough to have 2 lots back there.
Okay.
two 1-acre lots.
Okay.
And so.
So what's the proposal then?
I was just trying to save a third of a share of water. Me and Mike discussed it, and with the road and everything, he was thinking two and a third shares of water. And I was wondering if I could use that spring for the third of a share of water. Where we discussed it 20 years ago, I got the use of that spring counted as a half a share of water. So I was trying to get a third share of water.
That's the problem.
Irrigation company question.
The problem is it's a private right versus
an irrigation company.
Have you got that spring, and you've got a diligent claim on that spring?
No.
I mean, I don't know if you own that spring, because that was in the right of way.
Yeah, we did look it up on the state website, and there's not even a claim for anything there.
I was told not to file on it because it comes out on my property up there, and it goes in the ditch. It goes in the pipe on the road.
It goes into the ditch along the road, and then I think the city put a culvert in to take it across into the Bunnell ditch.
Right, so
and get rid of it.
That ditch has been there since my grandpa had. So.
Yeah, but I think most of the runoff that's coming to your property is coming out of that back ditch and across, or out of Wayne Probst's spring up there above.
By above, do you mean that upper corner, or do you mean down
below? Well, further up.
Way up.
Off
the spring.
But the spring, that's the only place that spring can come out. That's why I didn't file on it, because I was just told to use it.
I don't know if you can claim ownership at this point.
I don't think the state will give you owner or let you have ownership.
Yes. Well, and the problem, but working backwards, the city, it's not of any benefit to the city. I mean, we couldn't put that into our system.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So as we convert irrigation shares,
right, but it's not based an irrigation
on a,
share.
It based on a deeded right.
Yeah.
Declared right.
This is a tricky one.
Yeah, we require a certain amount of water. As for what can be used to meet that requirement, you know, that's in question. But if somebody doesn't own that water right, I think it's hard for them to use that water right on their property.
The only way we could is we'd have to file and see if the state...
Because right now we don't know if somebody else owns it. So.
And what the flow is and all that sort of stuff.
And even then, how would you use it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you do a change application.
Right.
Put it well.
Spring rights.
If you have the water right.
Which well?
Like the city's well up in Alpenhof or something else. It's just a paper water.
Man, I hate paper water. I want real water.
Sounds like really the key is somebody needs to own that water to be able to use it for something.
Yeah.
And right now we don't really know who owns it, and maybe you've got a claim to it, but that would be through the state engineer's office to decide.
You mean the state engineer's office?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I heard city. My hearing aids are on order. Just let me all know. Is that the question you're kind of proposing to us? So we're saying, if your question is, does this spring count? We're saying, that's a question for the state engineer.
As it stands right now, the answer would be no, but you might be able to, through the state engineer's office, get some declaration that then we could do something, the city could do something with.
Brett, do you agree with that?
So you have to file on that so that somebody owns it. So Keith would have to file on that spring with the state engineer.
Right. So that he could then transfer a water right to us that allows us to take more water out of that well.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
And I was told back in the day to use it and not file it. And I'm not so sure Andy Lundin didn't tell me that. Right, wrong, or indifferent. I said nobody else can use it but me. And he said, I just use it. Somebody told me that, I don't
know. Well, and
if it's on your property, Keith, you should be able to just file on it and the state should approve it because it's coming on your property.
Yeah, it comes right out of my property.
Yeah.
I mean, it comes out of the ground.
I think we ought to be kind of careful saying what the state should or shouldn't do.
Well, I know.
Right?
But
the biggest issue is going to be is somebody downstream.
Right.
It goes into, it used to go into the pond or wherever it went.
Right.
Or if that's coming from,
but that's the first step is to file on.
Yeah, or if the source of that's coming from off property.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the property it's on.
Yeah, no, but it may be coming up on your property, but its source is someplace else.
Well, there used to be a really big spring there until the city put the water pipe in there before they redid the road and took all the water out of the spring, and I tried to get Horrocks engineer to put a clay dam in there, and it wouldn't. So it just ran right down the pipe. So if it is, if you don't want to do it, I'm probably not going to go try to file one. I probably won't do that. That's the only place it can go. And
by the time they put the road in, they would.
The problem is,
much use for it.
And until you get a right to it, the city can't do it anyway.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've got to have a right
it's
in order for the city to do it.
There's procedure that's got to be followed here.
Yeah. Yeah. So then I guess we need to decide how much water while we're here to turn in for that.
So, if you have a plan, we can calculate that. It's a formula in the code.
So that's just set.
It's just set. Whatever your plan is, we can calculate the water requirement for it.
Decide how big your order or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to know. I didn't think you'd do it, but I had to ask.
Always ask, right? Always. Okay. So does that answer that question then, everyone? Anything else you want on this agenda item? Okay.
Thanks,
and thanks for the
all right.
Thanks.
Unusual situation. Okay. All right. Next on the agenda then is
White Acres
PUD. This is 500 North Whitaker Farm Way. And so we've got to discuss the water requirements and a possible recommendation. So, Michael.
All right. So as a land use summary, this is in the RA-143 zone, so acre zoning. This is 1.96 acres, and what's being proposed are 6 building pads. With the annexation agreement for Whitaker Farms, there were really 2 options for development for the Whitaker farm area, basically around the house. One is they could do 4 standard subdivision lots, or they could come in with a planned unit development. And it is a little bit, it's not really explained very well on how many homes that is overall. Looking at the language, to me it looks like there's 1 existing home, which would be the Whitaker home, and then really 11 building pads they could get.
It doesn't say like 12 total.
It says 12, but then it kind of talks about the house.
Yeah, the house. So for now, the house is assumed to be 1 of the 12.
So that's the way that I've interpreted it. The house is 1 of the 12.
We interpreted the annexation agreement?
Yes. Yeah. Probably,
but
could
it
have
does say
a little
total
better.
12.
It but does say 12, yes.
The proposal is only 6.
Yeah.
Without future.
Well, they'll come. They could come in with 5 more in the future.
Oh.
Yeah. And so for this plat, they would just have the 6. The frontage is on a public road, so Whitaker Farm Way is something that the city owns and maintains right now. There is the 1 existing dwelling of those again, and no sense of lands have been identified yet, at least not in the 1.96 acre area.
At least, yeah, none of the PUD.
Yeah, so here's the property that's still owned by Tom. Well, actually, he owns one of the open space pieces too. But so we've got Whitaker Farm Way over here, River Road. This is the museum piece. Tom's house right here, and then his outbuildings back here.
Okay, I'm not trying to open a can of worms here, but I wasn't mayor at the time this was happening, but I was going to all city council meetings back then, and I remember a discussion, so I'm just curious, that the house counted as 1, And the residents with the museum counted as one.
So I've been through that language pretty closely.
Okay.
And with the, if they took the four lot standard subdivision, then it talks about being able to do a rural preservation for this piece right here, including the museum piece. And so it almost looks like there's an option A and an option B. And option B, where it says the PUD, doesn't really include the rural preservation lot. But I don't know, it could have been written a little bit better. There's definitely some gray area there.
But we're not pushing the limits.
Right, no, you're not. And I'm fine with that. That's why I said I don't want to open a can of worms on this. I was just curious if what the...
Well, maybe we can look into that later, but for purposes of moving this meeting along and letting Steve go change his water, let's talk about density another time.
Perfectly fine with that. Bring it up only to say that if you come back with the other five, there's good chance there's going to be discussion.
Understood.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
and
definitely
I guess I would like the
right
minutes to reflect that. Okay. All right, that's it. That's all I want to say there.
So what we're looking at right now is just this area right here, 1.96 acres for the PUD lots. Kind of the mentality when it was annexed is this is all one big project. So Whitaker Farms with the 50 lots and then the rest of the Whitaker property. So it was looked at as a whole, and part of the language in the annexation agreement is whatever PUD pads are created, they need to be part of the HOA for Whitaker Farms. And so it met the requirements of having the correct acreage, having the correct density. And so that's what the city council agreed to with that annexation agreement.
And they get to benefit from the open space across the road.
Exactly.
For the density.
Yeah. And when you calculate all of the open space, there's even extra open space included. And so again, this is the area we're looking at.
And do they have to then turn in additional water for these six?
Yeah, water's not been turned over for any of these six. And so this is showing where the layout of those units will be, so we'll zoom in on that. Sewer and water connections, those are all going to be running up and connecting into
the
existing system. Those are six homes, is what they'll be, yeah.
Little homes?
Well, they're PUD pads, they're 3,000 square feet.
Yeah.
So some people think that's big, some people think that's little.
Not compared to the rest of Whitaker Farms.
So our current code limits the size of the building pads. All the building pads meet the code requirements for the limitations. And also this private area in the back, that's limited common area. Those all, they can't be over 750 square feet, so they all meet that requirement too.
So does Tom own this?
Tom owns this.
And he's the one that wants to develop it?
He's creating one for each of his kids.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's the idea. Now they could be sold to anybody, but that's kind of the idea behind it.
One of the daughters wants to build like right now.
One of them does?
One of them does.
Scott.
No, one of the girls.
Huh?
One of the girls.
Oh, one of the girls? Yeah. Aaliyah?
I'm not sure which one.
Yeah, so this shows the six pads. They're required to have a landscaping plan with it. We've gone through and they meet the correct requirement for trees and grass area. And so it does look like it complies with the code. So water requirement is, we've got the 1.96 acre parcel. Impervious area includes the building pads and then also driveways for each of the pads, and that's measured at 30 feet by 20 feet. And then we've got the irrigated area, so you add these up, subtract that from here, you end up with 1.37 acres. So that's 4.11 acre feet for outside irrigated area. There's six culinary connections for the homes, so 4.8 acre feet. We add those two together, we end up with 8.91 acre feet.
How did you come up with the 50.51 acres?
This one here?
Yeah.
So that's the building pads.
Of 3,000 square feet.
Of 3,000, we have that exact number. And then it's adding also that area, these little rectangles here.
Okay.
Because those can be impervious also.
Okay.
Those are basically patios.
Yeah, those are basically patios. People will be able to...
Kind of like Raymond Farm.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
And then the other thing is, park strip-wise, this water's already been dedicated out here. because that was part of Whitaker Farms. It's part of their plat, so we have the water for that. So we're just looking at...
Paul, did you want to add to that?
Well, I was just double-checking the numbers. So here in this table, we have 1.33 acres that we've hatched in grass. Some of that would be in the right-of-way.
I don't think so.
And then we have 0.1 for these areas around.
Yeah, according to the numbers on, for instance, right here, you see those numbers on the right, 0.41, and then the 0.1. You add that up, that's the 0.51 right there. And then the grass area, 1.33 plus the 0.13, that's the other number. So those are the numbers are used, and that would be just inside the black lines.
See, I came up with a 4.41 just by taking 3,000 square feet times 6.
Yeah, the pads aren't exactly 3,000. They're, it's like 54 and a half by 55, but it's pretty close. I'll go back to the numbers. So that would bring it to 8.91 acre feet. So that'd be just under three, well, it'd be three shares basically for this. Now, if he comes back in for the rest of the property, then we'll take a look at the rest of this area, including the existing culinary connections he's got. And so that would be part of a future plat dedication.
And that would be 5 feet of pads, max?
Yeah, he would...
We'll have to...
It would have to be five max, and it would really... The way our master plan is set up, you can only have so many plats per master plan, so you have to have a minimum of at least 5 units. So in other words, if they came in with...
max and minimum.
Yeah. Oh. So in other words, if they came in with just one pad in the next phase, then they wouldn't ever get those other four, because you'd have too many plats at that point. So you're probably ended up with just five pads in the next one, no matter what, if they want to maximize on their
density. So this, for this one, can we go to those water calculations again then? So based on those calculations, you're saying 8.91 acre feet. And is that, are we going to turn in shares? Do we need to calculate it if we do it in shares instead? Or are we looking to just do 8.91 acre feet?
Just 8.91, and however they meet the water requirement, they can. But most likely it's going to be shares.
Yeah. Okay.
He's got a lot of shares, I think, over there.
Do we have a dispute on the calculation?
Do you agree? Paul?
I'd like a chance to review it, but I think it's going to be pretty close either way.
Okay.
I was mostly checking to see that you used the revised plans that we sent.
Yeah, I did.
Ones. Okay.
I replaced all of the maps with the new ones.
Because the irrigated area grew with the revised one, because we reduced that deck area.
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you used the one that had the greater area.
And we did subtract driveways. We didn't have that, so...
There's not going to be any recreational facilities, like a pickleball court or a basketball court or something that would be more impervious?
No. There's really nothing planned for this area.
Then with that in mind, board, any other questions for staff? Does anyone want to make a motion? If we all agree with these calculations.
I'll make the motion that the requirement would be 8.91 acre feet for the six PUD pads.
I'll second that.
Based on the calculations from Mike.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Then all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Or abstained? Okay. We'll take that to the city council. The next one is the Malinka project, and that is 150 North, 100 East. And again, let's discuss these water requirements and a motion to send to the city.
We already approved this once.
So this property, back when I started, had been approved for a 4-lot subdivision. I think it was called the Wells subdivision, something like that. I don't know, Paul.
Midway Niche is what
Midway Niche was the name.
Ellen Wells.
And it's, and that only covered part of this property. They purchased part of the Hansen property, which was the Van Wagner property. And so this is a much, it was a bigger piece than that. But you're right, there was something approved here. I don't think the plat ever, it was never recorded.
Never got recorded.
Yeah.
So that approval,
it's long gone.
It's expired.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Malinkas would like to use the density reduction subdivision. So this is a preliminary and final approval. And again, the idea with the density reduction is to give a landowner an option to develop the property at a lesser density. But kind of, and in return, they don't have to build all the same infrastructure that would normally be required. So it's kind of a win in the situation that there's less density. It matches a lot of the language and vision in our general plan. We don't create more public roads for us to maintain in the long run, so it saves us money, it saves the developer some money. But everything is deed restricted, so it can't be developed at a higher density at any date in the future. So this property really could look a lot like Indian Summer, but the density has been reduced by 2/3 down to just 5 lots is where we ended up on this. So land use summary, R-1-15 zone, so it could be 1/3-acre lots. These lots are all much bigger than that. 5.2 acres is the gross area. There's 5 lots being proposed. And the cul-de-sac that is going to be built will be public. They do have to have frontage for one of the lots that meets city standards. And so they have to go in and finish that bulb. And that's it's good because right now we just have a stub road at the end of this street and there's no real turnaround. So this will create a turnaround for that. There is a private shared driveway that will be built to access a couple of lots. There's one existing dwelling on site. And then all 5 lots will be deed restricted from further subdividing. The application didn't identify any sensitive lands. And 200 North will be removed from our master plan once the deed restrictions have been recorded for all 5 lots. So that was part of a master plan amendment that was approved to remove 200 North from our master street plan. So in return for doing a density reduction subdivision, we'll remove a road that would cross this property. So here's an outline of the property. You can see the stake center over on the left. And first, east stubbing into the property up the center. And then the Malinka home is built just north of that road. There's some existing structures on site. Those will be removed.
So that existing home is on lot?
Yeah, one? That's on lot number one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so this shows construction of the cul-de-sac. This will be city maintained, and then you've got the 5 lots. Lots 1, 2, and 3 all front on the cul-de-sac. Then we'll have a shared driveway that will be privately maintained that will access lots 4 and 5 up in this area.
Under the rural, or the density reduction subdivision, setbacks apply?
Setbacks apply for the zone.
And we got that on the existing home?
Yeah, the existing home is just over 30 feet from this property line. And so we do meet the setback. We have, this is the utility plan. And so does the irrigation company have any ditches that we need to keep in mind?
Where does the gurney ditch come through up there?
Just to the west side of that driveway.
Which side?
The west side. So the ditch is right here. So we've moved the driveway enough that the ditch will remain open. That's where you see the blue line. Then we're going to bring in a culvert underneath the cul-de-sac and then dump it back in the ditch here to the south.
Okay. Now, is that the main ditch or the one just going down first north?
I have no idea.
Where's the main ditch?
The main ditch? It's just a ditch.
There's one that comes across and then goes over
to Kinney's.
Yeah, over to Kinney's.
Yeah, which one goes?
Should I go back to the aerial maybe?
Yeah.
The back out. There you can see it.
Oh, okay.
Comes off the end.
We're north.
Oh,
yeah, I'm up north. Yeah, we're fine with what you propose.
Okay.
Yeah. I would have thought we'd ride up the 200 north.
Yeah, Yeah, I don't know which ones are your main ditches, but...
240. 250 north is what where the main gurney ditch is.
So, will the culvert on this one end up being rather small? I mean, it's a small...
No, it's an 18-inch culvert.
Yeah.
It's got to be big enough that it can handle...
It picks up some runoff water.
Runoff water.
Because is there any way to leave the ditch open all the way, or no? We've got to do it.
I've got to get it under the road.
There's going to be a spot.
So I left it open as much as I can.
Yeah.
You can see it running under the road right
so,
there.
So this is all open, and then...
You can't run it like around that
little place? No, you still have to go under the road.
There's a whole bunch of other problems with like the franchise utilities here. And we looked at that.
Okay.
And your irrigation line is going to be in the road?
Yes.
To serve the...
So we're doing two things. There's an existing irrigation line right here just off of the property. So we're going to tie into that, run it down the driveway, and then run it down and tie it into that irrigation line that's...
Coming up 100 east.
So basically we're going to make a loop for it.
So on the plat, I don't think we've got that irrigation line shown on there.
Well, it's in this easement over here.
So do we need a separate Midway Irrigation Company easement for that?
What about that north property line, Paul?
What about it?
Behind Kathy Philpott. Is there an easement there?
Well, it's not. We're putting in the standard 10-foot easement, but the line's on the other side of the fence, so that's...
Oh, because
Kathy's got to do that.
So it's on Kathy.
Okay.
If we don't qualify as a public utility, we would need an easement outlined on the plat.
Okay, so we're okay, you're okay with this?
Yeah.
Okay.
We qualify as a public utility.
Can't we
require... Oh, so you want something separate that says Midway Irrigation Company
easement?
Well,
we're a private irrigation company, I don't think.
But
under the law, we could be...
And since it's going to... Is it...
I agree with
relocating
that.
The ditch or just burying it?
No, we're leaving it open, with the exception it's piped under the road.
But we need the easement on it, so we have the right to go in and maintain it if we have to.
Okay.
But 10 feet should be enough on this plat. Just covering
how
the
do you feel about it being piped under the road? If you
we don't like it, but what else can we do? We can't do anything else.
Well, like the mayor said, you could, instead of running it under the bulb in that first cul-de-sac, you could just run it under the road.
Actually, I just as soon have it under the road.
I would too.
Because we don't have water in it all the time, and if we had it going in, they want to make a water feature out of it.
But 16.5 feet usually what we have.
On each side. So I don't think we need that.
Okay.
Will the
10-foot?
Two stormwater retention basins
specifically say Midway Irrigation Company.
Whose responsibility is it to keep the culvert clean?
The property owners.
Okay, we probably ought to put that in there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we have a lot of trouble with groundwater there? Them houses on 250 North always have trouble.
That's a Kathy Philpott house just north of here.
Well, in Engler.
What's that?
Engford.
Yeah.
And I think Ron Meek.
Yeah, Meek is in the middle.
And Glenn's old house.
Yeah.
I think that's Kathy's house straight in front of the...
Yeah, Kathy's is here. Meeks is here, and then we can have Angfer's here. And yeah, we've talked a lot about groundwater in that area, especially before the city council.
But that's that's quite a ways north, and they've got that group of ditch that does all that.
Yeah, I don't think anything
we're
doing here is
going to
be affected by this.
But do you think it comes that far?
It comes south on that property, I'm sure.
I think it can.
I don't know that it goes clear down at this property, but there is.
Yeah. I mean,
well, it's nothing we need to worry about, I think, but.
I'll look at the soils thing again.
Just so they know.
Yeah.
That's the big thing.
Because I think that whole thing is a pot rock.
We asked for a geotechnical, didn't we?
We'll need to because that public road is being built.
So that'll give us a little bit of information about it.
We have that yet, don't we? Geotech?
I don't think I've got it.
You haven't seen that?
Okay.
Okay. So we'll make sure that easement gets on there.
Okay.
And then I've got, so as for the recommended water requirement, so the gross acreage is 5.2. After dedication, it's 4.95 acres. So impervious area for dwellings, since these are all over a third of an acre, comes out to 8,000 square feet per lot. So that's 0.92 acres. Then also we've got 0.11 for the shared private driveway. So that's basically 20 feet wide coming up to about this point. So that area wouldn't be watered. The only reason why we've recommended that is it's on the edge of the property where we could actually keep it from being irrigated. If it's up the middle, it's very difficult to do that. But the edge is a lot easier. So we're 0.11 acres for that. And so that leaves 3.92 acres of irrigated area, which comes out to 11.76 acre feet. So 5 culinary connections for the dwellings, which is 4 acre feet. If you add the 11.76 and the 4, you come up with 15.76 acre feet. Now, there was a home on this property long before Malinka's built their home. That was taken down, I think, 2010 or so. And so there was a connection there. And so we followed the same amount of water that we normally do. 1.5 was credited, and that covered the Malinka's existing home. So you subtract the 1.5 from the 15.76, it's 14.26 acre feet. So.
That connection stayed there when that modular home, not modular, it was a. It was.
Was it
a prefab?
It was a prefab home.
It was Van Wagner's. Doyle Van Wagner.
Doyle Van Wagner's wife lived there.
Yeah.
And that they tore the house down years ago and they left the connection?
They kept paying for
it. Yeah,
they didn't move it to the new house?
Not as far as I know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they kept paying for that connection is what we know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve, you're thinking they may have some water there that they can use.
No, they
Well, I didn't know if they used that connection.
They didn't have to turn any water in when he built his house.
So when
right, but they're saying they still paid.
Did he commit water when he built his new house?
No.
No, I think
he used that connection.
He used that connection, so it doesn't exist. Oh, okay, it does.
It's part of the plat.
We just lost the computer. It's restarting.
Yeah, we're just taking it off and only charging for four.
Four of the five.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That works.
Okay, any other questions for staff on these recommendations? I'll just go to mine.
What was the total amount?
It was
14.26.
My computer wants to update.
Thank you.
If we stopped it. Yeah.
So you're looking for a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Make a motion that we recommend the City Council a water requirement for the Malinka, what's it called?
Density reduction subdivision.
Density reduction subdivision of 14.26 acre feet.
Yeah, it's a literal title.
Yeah, I was going to say. At least it's not the villages.
Yeah.
The village is something.
Malinka right. Villages?
I'll second it.
We've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed or abstaining? Okay, that passes. And now we're looking at
Mike,
the...
Mike, can you email me the white and this
the
one?
Yeah.
And I'll do
CP Water Conservation Ordinance
Water.
Grants.
Okay.
We'll start a letter.
Okay.
Get it
Paul. Steve, I've already emailed those plans to you.
Okay. I'll just take the...
Oh, you want the staff?
Yeah. I'll get all the numbers to you.
Yeah, and I didn't see those water recommendations in the packet here, so just...
Does the irrigation company, so that we avoid another delay, need any special agreement given the culvert under the road? Or with the city, I guess, it's gonna be a city or street.
That would be a city street.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't have a...
Okay, so this is the CUP Water Conservation Ordinance and Grants. Who's leading out on this one? Steve?
Michael.
Michael? You wanna talk us through this one?
Yeah, so Steve and I have had a chance to talk a little bit about this.
Yeah, and I was contacted by a resident.
Who wants to...
His emails. He was asking me about the Central Utah Water Conservancy District grant plan for Flip the Strip and some of the other landscaping stuff. And I said, yeah, I took the class, it looks very interesting. Go talk to them about, I know you have to make an application, et cetera, et cetera. And they came back and said, well, Midway hasn't adopted a landscape ordinance. I thought we had, but not the one that they require. Heber has, who else in the valley?
I only know Heber. Yeah, I don't think the county's adopted anything like this.
No, but you can't even make an application without the adoption of it. So Michael researched that for us and...
Yeah, we had a presentation quite a while ago before the planners.
Rick Malloy.
Yeah, he came and presented this and basically to us, at some point in time, anybody who met this ordinance or flipped their park strip into kind of a xeriscaping could tap into the funds that the CUP would give them for doing that. But now they've changed it to where the only way the CUP actually gives any money to a property owner who is following this ordinance is if the city's adopted the ordinance. So just talking to Steve, we wanted to have a little bit of a discussion about it. Basically what the CUP code says is any new construction would have to meet the code requirements. And some of the code requirements are only 35% of your landscaped area can be lawn. The rest of it would have to be some of the landscaping.
So it's not optional if someone wanted to do, if we pass this ordinance as a city and someone said, yeah, I don't care about getting the CUP grant money, I want 80% lawn. That's an option?
It's not an option.
There are two requirements.
Yeah.
Some of the other stuff is not mandated in this ordinance. Not to say the city couldn't mandate it, because the city can play on the periphery. But as I understand it, there are two requirements.
The two minimums.
One is the 35, no more than 35% can be lawn.
Correct.
So, you know, you do xeriscaping or a patio or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe landscaping other than bluegrass. You know, you could have beds and mulch a lot, Scotch fields. And then you couldn't, and I don't understand this, but I'm sure some landscape engineer, you can't have an area of lawn narrower than 8 feet.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem is with
and
that.
And I think
is,
that's so that you don't have spillover. Yeah, that's
hey, Steve, where we aren't WICWAP, are we within CUP?
But I guess
because
the problem
of
is, if you have non-lawn
well,
we're,
what's
that
county part of the CUP? We're all paying into the tax district.
You're not dealing with an overspray issue. You still have to water that landscape. So I don't know why they draw the distinction with turf as opposed to other landscapes.
I would think it would be best to have Rick come back and explain this to the city council again. Now that they've had the program in place for 2 years and they're seeing how it's working. It has merit in large, you know, like Orem and Provo where they have small lots and landscape.
And water issues.
Yeah.
Big water issues. If it was optional, that's one thing, but I think if it's a mandated, you cannot go beyond that. That's a little troubling.
Yeah, it is mandated.
Where would pasture fit in?
Huh?
Where would pasture fit in? If I had one of these 5 acre...
It's not lost.
So So it's just specific.
There is a definition of law.
Okay.
Steve, so who's this person you're recommending?
Rick Malloy.
And he's with CUP?
He's with CUP. He's over the conservation ordinance program.
He's the guy who taught the class that I took on law.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good recommendation. I mean, maybe we do a work meeting and have him come. Do you want him to come to this body first? Do we want this body to make the recommendation?
Michael wanted to bring it to the water board first.
I just thought this was a good place to start a discussion.
To the city council.
I think it probably ought to come to the city council because there's some positive things about it and some real negative things about it.
Yeah,
I mean, you could end up a hodgepodge going down the street and half the people take out the park strip and half don't. And
right.
That's happening on my street.
So
is it?
And yeah.
I just took mine out.
Yeah.
Well, the fungus took it out.
But I even mean this whole 35%, someone decides, you know what, I want a little more lawn over here. And
it's a trade-off to get the grants, period, pure and simple.
Yeah.
So here's kind of the big thing that I found with our last discussion about it is I asked, I think it was, what's his name, Rick Malloy?
Rick.
Yeah.
I asked him, cities that have adopted this, have they reduced their water dedication requirements? And he said that is the case. Because if we're all saying you can only have 35% of your area being lawn and the rest is drip system, that means there's going to be less water being used, which is a good goal. But it also means the dedication for water rights would need to be reduced because we wouldn't be able to justify full water.
We'd have to look at them on an individual lot basis.
Yeah. See, right now we've got two categories, impervious or lawn. And we'd have to come up with a... Because I don't know that there's justification for changing the lawn calculation, but we would need to come up with a different classification for non-lawn.
You'd actually have to do a landscape plan for every lot in the subdivision.
And then we
at the plat recording.
Yeah.
Well,
we kind of do that.
There would be limitations per lot at the plat recording, but then they'd have to give us a landscaping plan per building permit. And then we'd have to, before we issue the C of O, make sure they've met that requirement. The problem would be in the long run of what if somebody only has 0.5 water dedicated to the lot and then they change it and start using water they don't actually have dedicated.
Which has always been.
It would be an enforcement issue that we'd have to somehow figure out.
The other issue you have is most cities aren't like Midway. You're going to have a lot bigger lots and a lot bigger, which we know.
What?
And I think it's going to create a lot of happy.
You mean with Midway will have
with
a lot bigger lots.
I think a lot of homeowners are not going to be happy with. Paul, what do you? I
be
mean,
happy with what?
With what is it? A third of the property being lawn.
35% maximum lawn.
35% max lawn.
Yeah.
I do. I think
people get a lot more.
A lot of people come up here for vacation places. They want to bring their families. They're kind of entertainment places as much as they are homes.
This also dictates commercial, institutional, manufacturing maximums too. It's not just residential, it's all of those.
Steve Farrell, does this even matter? Where Midway Irrigation opted out of the whole project, does this even matter?
Oh yeah. Yeah, we.
You can still qualify for Central Utah funding.
Mm-hmm. Because we all pay in the tax rate. Even though we opt out and getting the money, we didn't opt out to paying our three mills on our property tax every year.
Okay. So it's really for the council, it would be a question of do the guys who want grass win, or do the guys who want to conserve and get some financial help that's available to landscape on a conservative basis win?
Yeah, so that's this board's recommending council needs to review it deeper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And get educated on it.
I think you ought to be educated on it before you even discuss the ordinance.
Okay.
Steve, who gets the money, the developer or the landowner?
The landowner.
But the developer turns over the water rights.
Well, then if that's the landowner, it could be a developer, it could be a resident.
He's a landowner until he sells.
But the developer comes in with a plat, and at that time he's got to turn in the water rights.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, he turns into water
rights. I guess
you
could make
this doesn't have anything to do with water.
They could turn into water rights, but on their monthly bill, if they meet the criteria, you could reduce the monthly bill to a certain percentage because they're using less water.
But if I meet this criteria and say, okay, instead of turning in 10 shares, I'm going to reduce it. I only need to turn in 8.5.
I think it's going to have to be up to the property owner, the original property owner, to determine if they want to limit the water usage or not.
But that's
if the ordinance adopted, the developer will understand that 35 max, right?
So then
beyond so we can do a calculation of water requirements. If it's 25% or 20%, it will redound to whoever puts the landscaping in. Whoever the owner is when they put the landscaping in. It's an enforcement problem. What happens when somebody comes along
and wants to buy the house and decide I want it all along.
But we've got that problem also with dark sky and so many other things. You know, there's no sense in making rules if you're not going to enforce them. And that's one of the major problems we have.
So I think we're all agreed we need to
to
set up a special meeting to dive into this deeper. So with that in mind, I think I'm looking for a motion to continue this and let the city council take it on.
Yeah, we don't even need to make a recommendation. City council. Well, as the city council, it doesn't need a recommendation to do this.
So
right? So
this body's gonna vote to table it then. I need a motion.
I'm with motion to table. I second that
motion. Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed or abstaining? Okay, that's tabled, and we'll make a note in the minutes that this is going to get brought up with City Council.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Any new business?
Any new or old business, folks? I feel like it's been a while since we've been together. We've got a motion to adjourn.
Second.
The second, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone against? Okay. We are here. Thank you.
I hope.